Program are pre-recorded.
Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, your Super Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bickel, I'm with Lori Hintz from Beck News. You can go to becktv.plus, follow all things Southern Carbon Solutions, proposed CO2 pipeline. See, my brain's working this morning, Lori, so I actually got that right.
Well done. Can't say that mine is quite that sharp this morning, well, yet, so it's going to take me a little while.
A friend of mine...
Coffee.
A friend of mine, well, I'm a tea person, but... Chai tea latte. A friend of mine bought Classic Rock Coffee across the street.
So I know him. Yeah,
stopped in and
I'm excited
and
about that. Brad,
got
that's a good
a beverage over at Classic Rock, which is on the strip here in Mandan with Brad's new endeavor. So,
yep.
Brad Feldman. So, congratulations to him on a new acquisition. And
the old owner,
you know, she was just getting ready to retire. It's like. Perfect handoff. It works out well. And
I'm excited for him. I already patronized that as well.
Yeah,
so I'm
probably patronizing a little bit more now. Not that I didn't do that enough. All right. So Public Service Commission, conveniently after the election, they make a ruling.
Some interesting things that have happened nationally since then.
And I want to come back to the state stuff because you have multiple states to talk about this morning. But the one thing we've been saying, and we've been saying this about a lot for a long time, is like, where's the press on this? And there hasn't been that big press story. I mean, Beck's been doing a great job. Even the other local news outlets really haven't been covering a whole lot.
Some have.
They're just starting.
Yep.
I've just had some reach out to me as a county commissioner. And, well, what are you guys doing? And, you know, we're working with Emmons County and our state's attorney on our next options. So there's starting to be some press. Nationally, there's starting to be some press. And some of this is coming back because of the Interior Secretary pick.
Right.
Which is our globalist governor, Doug Burgum. And they're starting to pay attention to this. I know their New York Times is looking at some stuff. And different news outlets on the East Coast have really been starting to go, well, who is this guy? And, oh, wait a minute, he's involved in what? And it's coming from some directions that I wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm. I saw an article in the American Thinker, which is more... right and aligned with the folks. I can't think of what the outlet is off the top of my head, but they're almost John Birch Society type,
yeah,
right?
Very
right,
conservative platform.
Yeah, very, very conservative platform.
And meat and potatoes platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's like no fluff. They just, here's the facts.
Yeah. There is an article in E&E News, which is definitely industry, that came out on the 20th that says Trump team could bring both axe and scalpel to Interior, which is interesting. The Interior Department presents many targets of opportunity, it says, for hard chargers in the second Trump administration. Oil and gas production could be fast-tracked in Alaska and the lower 48 states, E&E News reports. Budgets could be cut. Science offices closed and endangered species rules rewritten. In what amounts to a 1-2 punch, President-elect Donald Trump's Interior appointees will be positioned in the short term to rescind and reverse many Biden administration policies. In the long term, Trump's effort to reduce the size of government, the Department of Government Efficiency, could seek deeper cuts to the department of some 70,000 employees, including trying to shrink the size of the workforce. But get rid of too many career employees might actually, I'm sorry, but getting rid of too many career employees might actually make it harder to move forward on Trump's deregulation priorities or his off-stated desire to boost oil and gas drilling on public lands, noted both a longtime Interior observer and a former department insider. Quote, I would expect many of the career people to take early retirement or just bail out depending on how bad things get. Pat Parenteau, an emeritus professor in law.
There's two parts of that, though,
mm-hmm.
because a lot on the far left are painting this. It's like, oh, my gosh, he's just going to deregulate everything. I'm like, yeah, but the truth to the story is it's overregulated now. So
mm-hmm.
it's just a swinging back of the pendulum.
Right.
Getting things back into
the
balance.
The Overton window is finally moving back.
We all like clean water. We like protecting
exactly.
the habitat. We like protecting mm-hmm. animals and endangered species and making sure they have a path forward to keep them around. But there's too much regulation. At what cost? And that's just bringing things back into balance, because things don't work when they're out of balance. The other side of that is the growth of government. And when they get done there, you think we can get Elon to North Dakota?
Yeah, right.
Because, good Lord, you talk about growth of government. And take a look where North Dakota was 20 years ago versus today. Mm-hmm. And I think the stat that pops up every now and then, it's like 1 out of 5 people in North Dakota generate a paycheck from the state.
Yeah.
If you want to talk, Hovind was bad. Dalrymple, just as bad. Burgum took it on steroids. You talk about the growth in government and wasteful spending, my tax dollars.
The people in North Dakota really got a good view of that with Measure 4. People started to dig in and realizing, wait a minute, why do we not have any really...
Why do we have a Commerce Department?
Why? Yeah, great questions.
Hey, let's give away money to out-of-state interests.
Yeah, people are asking a lot of questions now at the state level. On the national level, I'm going to zip back here to another article that says the Summit Carbon Pipeline is having a great Trump transition. It is talking about on this one, on paper, someone has its work cut out for it, in ways not dissimilar to the troubles facing solar and wind. But, you look at Vivek Ramaswamy and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., two members of the incoming Trump administration, and Ramaswamy and RFK's presence is providing cold comfort compared to the selection of North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, a vocal supporter of the project, to be Interior Secretary.
That's an interesting dichotomy.
Isn't that interesting?
Within the cabinet, I'm trying to figure out, okay.
Somebody explained to me, I do not understand Brooke Rollins as ag commissioner, as ag secretary. Did you hear that one? Somebody explained to me where she comes into that, because she was in line from everything that I read. She was in line for a chief of staff or deputy chief of staff position right under Susie Wiles. And then she all of a sudden shows up as ag secretary, and none of the guys that I thought were going to probably be in line for that, Zippy Duvall among some of them, he was, on my show when I did No Apologies, and wonderful, wonderful guy, personal friend of Daryl Lees's. And so he, I thought, was going to make a great, ag secretary, and all of a sudden Brooke Rollins shows up. I thought that was
interesting.
That was unusual to me. I thought that was interesting.
Well, and the other one too, because I think I messaged you last week and go, hey, whether it's a rocket launch for Elon or wherever it is, if Trump's at a thing, who's in the background?
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this up before. Kevin Cramer has always been a big supporter of Trump. I mean, he was one of the first guys that jumped on the first go-round.
Exactly, right.
And it makes me wonder what is lined up for Senator Cramer. Because Trump values loyalty, and nobody's been as loyal to Trump as Kevin Cramer has been. And he's at everything. So, one, we know he's in Trump's ear a lot, but he was one I was thinking, well, could that have been an egg? Or because I know there's a lot of value with Kevin being in the Senate for Trump, but there's something that's just tugging. So it's like, okay, Trump wants Kevin close, so is that a secretary position? Is it, I don't know.
I think he has filled out all of his positions for the most part now.
I was thinking ag might have been a Kevin halfway.
Now, ag is also, USDA, it's very much dealing with SNAP, and there are things that are, shouldn't probably be as ag related.
Well, I'll tell you about some SNAP stories when we come back from the break. this is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bachel and Lori Hintz from Beck News. You can go to becktv.plus and follow all things Summit Carbon Solutions proposed CO2 pipeline. we're talking about
USDA
who's in the background and with
agriculture.
Senator Kevin Cramer is in the hip of President-elect Donald Trump.
He's definitely over his shoulder in all photos.
It's like you take a look at the background of who's there, and Kevin's at every event. So it's interesting, though, because we were talking before the break about the kind of the mechanics of the ag secretary. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of minutiae, but it's dealing with SNAP program. When I was doing the talk show on a different station, one of my favorite interviews all the time, I had Heidi on a lot, Heidi Heitkamp, when she was a senator, on a lot. And most of our conversations were about the ag bill. And I was always, separate them. The producers just want security and support if something goes south and you got a year of flooding, you got a year of drought, you got a year of hail. Right. Keep the operation viable. So that's all they want. They want to go compete in the open market. It's not about anything else. And she's always of the contention that, well, but if you separate SNAP out of that, then you'll never pass a farm bill. I'm like, okay, great. But the farm bill relies, or the SNAP programs rely on agriculture, because you can't add all this stuff on the SNAP card without agriculture. So my contention always was, well, they like to eat too, right? Because if you separated them out and they didn't pass a farm bill, people starve to death. Because mm-hmm. when family farms go under, people starve to death.
Right. People just do not.
I was never a fan of GMO either. But, you know, you have to come to the realization that without GMO, a third of the world starves. We can't feed everybody. So there's a tipping point. There's a balancing act. But I was always in favor of separating them out. I know Kevin and I had some pretty good conversations on agriculture.
The farm bill.
The farm bill.
Sure.
And so I was kind of thinking that that might have been a position for him. But what are some of your thoughts that, okay, that's the last big cabinet position that's been filled.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody gets...
I'm looking at the non-cabinet positions, particularly DOGE, so the Department of Government Efficiency, which Elon Musk and Ramaswamy will be heading up. Now, the nice thing about that, and people may not know that, but there's a sunset on it. It's supposed to end, and it's not going to be necessarily a Senate confirmation situation.
The problem with that is, okay, now you're talking positions where Senator Cramer, I think, is more valuable in the Senate at this point, mm-hmm. rather than mm-hmm. some of those other, you know, if it's not a high cabinet position, then he's more valuable in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to watch, but I know Kevin is going to be and currently is a big part of the Trump administration moving forward.
In the inner circle, I would say, is probably very likely. He's always, you know, maintained a really good relationship from what I understand too. So I just want to say that in North Dakota, this article from Heatmap, Jale Holzman put this out on the 21st of November, too, so last week. And Don Shepard, a North Dakotan opposed to the summit project, says, quote, "We're screwed." She says,
and that's coming off the Public Service
right.
Commission.
You know, he'll get all carbon capture projects approved. I thought Republicans and Trump included didn't believe in climate change. Trump's not keeping his word in her mind.
That's the dichotomy mm-hmm. of it, though, because Vivek and Kennedy very opposed to.
Yes. And
from different places, too, because Vivek's coming from the, okay, this is a scam. And the Kennedy side is, well, this isn't environmentally sound.
Right. And so, yet they agree.
Because, again, we've talked about the dichotomy mm-hmm. of who's opposed to this project, and it makes strange bedfellows.
It does. You've got right-leaning people, you've got left-leaning people, and they have differing reasons for opposing the CO2 pipeline, but they agree on some. And this case is really interesting. Mark Heflinger is the guy who's at Bold Alliance, which is a group in Nebraska who is actually fighting this pipeline, and he is one of the activists networking. He said, quote, "While I've been told the company didn't substantially adjust its routing in response to the failed ballot initiative in South Dakota, executives certainly certainly did change plans to elide a repeat rejection from the commission after it said no to pipeline plans last year. There are a lot that could still go awry for Summit, he said. They could lose legal battles in Iowa that send them back to the drawing board in a crucial hub for corn and ethanol, and where public opinion may be souring on the developer, and South Dakota could be its own ball of wax, given how passionate the opposition in the state of South Dakota is. And boy, are they ever, and they have managed to translate that into their legislature and their legislative leadership in South Dakota already. It continues, Trump's comments on the matter have been vague, and I remember this, if you remember, when early on he was giving some speeches, Trump said, well, you know, we're working on that. This was, I think, in Iowa. He said that Trump said when asked about the pipeline at an Iowa primary event last year. Yep. And, you know, we had a plan to totally, it's such a ridiculous situation, he said, isn't it? But we had a plan and we would have instituted that plan. It was all ready, but we will get, if we win, that's going to be taken care of. That's what he said. When somebody asked him on the trail, on the campaign trail in Iowa, you know, what about the CO2 pipeline? He says, if we win, that's going to be taken care of. That will be one of the easy things we do, he said. Ultimately, it may be with many issues. Whoever's in the room last with Trump could decide the pipeline's fate. And and I have heard that said over and over by people. Whoever gets to him last, okay, whoever talks to him last is the one who gets...
Okay, and this is the part that catches me a little funny because, well, I was in the room last when we pulled out of Afghanistan. Like, really?
That was Kamala who said that. Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's going to be fascinating to watch.
And I don't know if it can get spooled up that fast, but I've heard some rumblings that they're trying to, is getting the Keystone through in the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if those assets are still available, because what happens a lot is, okay, a project goes south and then you reposition those assets because of the pipe and everything that was positioned to be put in the ground. We had a lot of it in North Dakota, didn't get put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So if those assets are still available, I could see that project getting back up and running. If they're not, I don't know if you can do that in 4 years. So that'll be very interesting. And then we got to hope that Vance and Gabbert, Tulsi in 4 years, right? That's my guess. So
we'll see.
It'll be interesting.
It will, definitely. Hans,
Beck News, you can go to becktv.plus, follow all things Summit Carbon Solutions proposed CO2 pipeline. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
News Talk Mark Mandan, Super Talk 1270. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Lori Hintz from Beck News. You can go to becktv.plus, follow all things Summit Carbon Solutions, proposed CO2 pipeline. And, of course, Lori, best TV personality for our area. And Beck, of course, our best local news source for the area. So kudos to that, as usual. And a lot of it, I think, comes back to the fact that you get the time. And not to slight other mainstream media or news agencies or the paper or other TV stations, but you get the time.
We do. We
dig into a story.
We do things more in depth and long form. That is unusual and that is a little different. But what it does is it allows the community to learn about something rather than just a flash in the pan story that you just throw out there and then move on to the next one. It allows us to really go a little more in depth. Yeah.
Okay. So we know where we're at in North Dakota, the Public Service Commission hearing, but
South Dakota, Summit
Iowa
has now reapplied in the state of South Dakota. So they are doing their reapplication in South Dakota, and they are...
And this is on the heels, though, too, because this is where it gets interesting. At the election, South Dakotans reaffirmed that and
RL-21.
I chuckle when I call it the Landowner's Bill of Rights.
That was a misnomer.
They said, no, that's bad legislation. That does not stand up for landowners.
They tossed it.
And they booted that thing out of there. Mm-hmm. So now mm-hmm. Summit's going back and reapplying. I'm wondering if they're cognizant of the temperature in the room.
Right. Well, in South Dakota, they don't they don't have common carrier status, so that they're going to be working with the landowners this time, or because they have to. That is required in South Dakota.
So what happens when the landowners don't want to work with them?
Great question.
Because that's where it's going to matter.
That's exactly right. They're going to have a much harder time dealing with and bullying landowners any longer in South Dakota, because South Dakota has kind of laid down the law. So, and I
have Dakotans laid down.
Yes,
the law.
It is the people, we the people, who actually did that, and they
I correlate that a little bit to what took place here in North Dakota in our last session. We had 8 pieces of legislation that would have strengthened landowner rights, and the governor's office killed every one of them at the last minute. So
people in North Dakota are a little more apathetic than they are in South Dakota.
I
would say that we are kind of a little more laid back and doing our thing. And
we keep to ourselves
working
a little bit more.
Correct.
Yeah,
it's true.
We're not out in the public.
South
speaking.
Dakota, however, has really, really come a long way, and they actually completely redid their legislative scope and scape. Now, all of a sudden, you've got different people in legislative positions.
Different leadership.
Leadership was completely turned over for their state, both in the House and the Senate, both. And so there are some really good things happening in South
Dakota.
There's
a lot of things going on in South Dakota, because now they also have to replace the governor.
Correct. Right.
Because I'm assuming Kristi Noem is going to get approved. Mm-hmm.
She is one of the people who does have to have Senate confirmation. Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be interesting. And I have a pretty good idea who, if not this time, the future governor. I've gotten to be really good friends with Paul Tenaken, the mayor of Sioux Falls. And he's a dude. He's a dude. And it's about.
Do you think it's interesting
first
that there are so many people from the Northern Plains that got appointments or got area? I mean, there's a lot of Midwestern
sensibility
that has been hired by, but you know, even
Noem's a little suspicious sometimes, but
Hoekstra, in Michigan. I mean, you've got
whether you like him or not, Thune leadership position,
right? South Dakota. Yeah. Two from South Dakota, one from North Dakota, one from Michigan. Yeah. There's definitely representation from the Midwest in the new administration.
I think that's part of the bigger picture, though, and why the Democrats lost is because there's such a disconnect from the coasts and the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And the little fiefdom in New York City and the little fiefdom in the Bay Area and the LA Basin, they don't rule the roost.
Right.
They're not representative of the majority of Americans.
Well, I don't remember anybody from.
And it's got nothing to do with ethnic, race, religion,
right,
male or female. There's only two. But it's got nothing to do with any of that.
Right.
It's just there's this big disconnect.
Yeah, it is true. And I don't think I'm going to have to go back and look at the folks who are on the nomination list, but I don't think there's anybody from Iowa that I saw in there. But I want to flip to Iowa. Summit is once again suing counties over their ordinances in Iowa. That's what's going on there. Shelby and Story counties both had ordinances about how close the pipeline could actually be to residences, so they had their ordinances. And in 2023, a judge ruled in favor of Summit Carbon Solutions. So now the case is currently moving up to the 8th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, and that's going on in Omaha, Nebraska, for the Iowa case for Story and Shelby counties. And again, they're talking about the ordinances. That judge originally ruled with Summit that the federal safety standards preempt. You get really tired of that word after a while. Preempt local ordinances. There's a lot of hope, though, that the court system this time will see differently. And we'll see, you know, and now that takes us right to ordinances in the counties.
Right. And before I get that, full circle, this comes back to where's the ruling from PHMSA?
Right. Still waiting.
Again, we're still waiting for PHMSA.
Yeah.
And that's a big, right there.
Yeah.
Right there. That's a big piece of this, and that needs to get straightened out.
And those who don't know what PHMSA, PHMSA is, it is the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. It's with the Department of Transportation. And
it's supposed to be updating what a CO2 pipeline is versus on oil or gas.
The deal is they have specific regulations in place under 49 CFR 195 pertaining to hazardous liquid pipelines, including carbon dioxide. And there's a great article in the Raccoon Valley Radio.
I just like that name, actually.
I know, right? Raccoon Valley Radio. I know. I love it, too. There are regional outlets who are actually covering this. There really are, but many of them are not in our state. Some are, but when you get to Iowa and when you get to Nebraska and South Dakota, those outlets are all, you know, weekly covering things, and it's just not as important to the media here, except
some outlets not called Beck.
Yes, yeah. Correct. But it's very frustrating that the PHMSA regulations have not been updated. We know that they're going to be. We thought it was going to be in the fall, and we're getting really close to being the end of the fall, and still waiting here too. So that's what's going on in Iowa. Is that
that tells me that it's political.
Yes. Yeah.
That just tells me that it's like, okay, let's.
And frankly, what's going to happen with PHMSA now with the new administration? Is PHMSA going to be ramped up, or are they going to be trimmed down? I mean,
they're going to get dozed.
I think they're going to get dozed. You got to wonder how many people are going to be, you know, jumping ship too. There's a really interesting trend I noticed. I was watching a little bit of Tom Homan last night, who is going to be the new border czar.
Tell you what, hold that thought, because I want to come back to that as well. Yep. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Lori Hintz from Beck News. You can go to becktv.plus, follow all things Southern Carbon Solutions, proposed CO2 pipeline. Okay, Lori.
I mentioned.
We have a bunch to talk about.
I know.
Here.
Well, I know, but I was mentioning Tom Homan, because what he's doing is he's very publicly saying, you know what, self deport. Get out before you get deported.
Well, and the difference is if you leave on your own volition, you still have an opportunity to come back through the proper channels.
Do it legally.
Mm-hmm. And get vetted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get deported, you don't have that opportunity to come back through proper channels.
Or it would take way longer in the system. So that, what I'm equating that to is the fact that the federal government is looking at big cuts, obviously. I mean, if you've got a guy like Elon Musk, who literally got rid of 80% of the Twitter staff when he bought it and made it into X with 20%, far more efficient. He said they had, I just listened to an interview that he did, and he said that he has done way, way more efficient stuff with just that 20% in 8 years than they had the previous X amount of years that Twitter even had existed.
But take a look at his rocket program.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And
so,
how lean that runs.
Right? And that's just the point. The point is the leaning is going to be happening. You can decide to get involved with this yourself, or you can just wait for the hammer to fall, or you can, you know, be proactive as a government worker.
See, I don't have a problem with somebody who wants to go, okay, I'm here illegally. Can I get on the list and go through the whole vetting process? But you're not going to be in the country while that happens. Mm-hmm. And thanks for being honest, and you're going to be pushed up the list.
Question is,
not ahead of the people that have been waiting forever to do it correctly anyway.
Right.
But you should be up on the list.
Question I have is, though, on the government side, with all of these cuts that are coming, are they going to look at those 45Q tax credits and go, okay, this is trillions of dollars that we could actually give to the people rather than industries, specifically private industry?
Hey, they're trillions of dollars. Let's pay off the debt.
Exactly. Exactly right. So,
and by the way, speaking of deportations, there's two super wide 757s that a pilot friend of mine was telling me that has been running flights. They're housed in Virginia, but they're the planes that have been running the flights nonstop, flying illegals into this country, of which Lake and Riley's murderer was one of those.
Right.
Unvetted,
mm-hmm.
Just dumping them in the country.
Yeah. That's going to stop.
That's federal programming.
Yeah, and that's going
from an administration that has failed.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to stop. But
okay, so one last thing I want to talk about with North Dakota, and we've gone through South Dakota, Iowa. Now, in North Dakota, of course, the North Dakota Industrial Commission Oil and Gas Division set to rule on their permit for the Class 6 injection wells for CO2. So that is the end point for this boondoggle, that is the five state
green scam.
Green scam.
Call it what it is.
Yeah.
Green scam.
So, but that has not occurred. They don't even have, it's like a bridge to nowhere at this point because they have not yet permitted that as the Industrial Commission. So that is supposed to happen anytime.
Well, the Industrial Commission thought it was make gonna, up changes here shortly.
Indeed. And with the recent findings about 13 chrome, the steel that these things are made of, they have found in other areas of the country that it is highly corrosive.
Which, and to do it correctly, really raises the price tag of the project. But it'll be interesting because, of course, the Industrial Commission made up of the governor,
right?
The AG and the Ag Commissioner.
Right.
And a third of that is changing.
Correct.
So we'll see if they come out with a
ruling. We were always told that it was going to probably be, you know, we were assuming that it would be sometime in the fall. Well, fall ends on the 21st of December. So
we were told PHMSA was probably going to be this summer or, well, this fall or what.
Yeah, it's all getting pushed back. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, okay, so one other thing you mentioned in the last segment, too, was the going to the 8th Circuit
counties.
Court and the counties in Iowa.
That, preemption.
Yes, and the preemption side. So with the ruling of the Public Service Commission, that has pushed Burley and Emmons County up to the forefront of litigation.
I was impressed that Burley and Emmons County lawyered up. I thought that was a really, really good thing because that makes me as a citizen feel like, okay, somebody's actually looking out for
me. And legitimate lawyering up.
Correct.
Too. So people who have been vetted into this project and the whole process from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a path. Now, in Burley County's case, and I can only speak for Burley County, we're waiting on some decisions by our state's attorney on which directions we can go.
The 18th, that meeting that the Burley County Commission had, I watched it with great interest because you took questions and actually more than that, you took comment from the public.
And
which
if anybody
was great.
Wants to go back and watch it, it's about an hour in. It is when we had the
fantastic stuff. The whole discussion started at 55:04. And I appreciate the fact that you once again asked to see if there are actually Summit Carbon people in the room for these meetings because they've claimed.
They tell the press, they say that they are at every
county meeting and,
and zoning meeting, county meetings, everybody.
Meeting with the MS.
I have not, since I have been on the Burley County Commission, I have not seen or heard from a single Summit Carbon Solutions representative in that room.
So why is that? Why are they claiming one thing and then doing another in the trust level?
Well, they claim one thing and do the other in the messaging from their website, each individual state. You know, you go out of North Dakota and it's not about EOR. It's not about enhanced oil recovery. But in North Dakota, oh, this is good for enhanced oil recovery. No, it's not. You can't use it in that
they
fashion.
Have that on their website that it is specifically not for EOR.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
but
confusing.
The messaging is different from where they need to try to get it across the line.
Interesting. And the same thing can probably be said. Those landowners whom I've spoken to have gotten mixed messages as well.
No, and I will say this, too. And Chair Brian Bittner, because I'm the vice chair of the Burley County Commission. Brian Bittner's the chair. Mm-hmm. And at that meeting, we'd ask, it's like, if there are landowners who were threatened with eminent domain or the project was misrepresented to them, because I've talked to a lot of landowners that it was misrepresented. Oh, it's just another pipeline going across your property.
And in addition to that, it's just the carbonation in your pop. It is I've heard all that too.
Any landowners that were misrepresented to or threatened or felt threatened, reach out to Chair Brian Bittner. Go on the Burley County website, email him because we're collecting residents who have been threatened or the project was misrepresented or may have signed off under false pretenses to an easement we're collecting all that data and we're getting names of those individuals so we can move forward and have a finding of facts for litigation.
Yep.
So,
yep. It makes citizens a lot more confident that people are looking out for their health and safety.
And Emmons County has a vote coming up on their pathway to litigation as well. Lori, as always,
a
pleasure, and thanks for keeping an eye on this. Something very important for our area, and for me, it all comes back down to property rights is right there, but as an elected official, any elected official,
your
number one job is public safety.
That's right.
And whether you're given or not given the tools to be able to provide that is very important. And the information that goes along with
that. And thank you for all you are doing with Burley County, too. I really, as a resident of Burley County, appreciate
that. Yep. Thanks. You can follow all things Summit Carbon Solutions on BeckTV.plus. Lori's got some great drop-downs, some investigative reporting there. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town, weekday mornings starting at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app. Without apology, the Regular Joe Show with Joe Giganti, weekday evenings at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app.
Portions of the following program are pre-recorded.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Welcome back to Super Talk 1270, Talk of the Town. My name is Jason Spies, sitting in for Steve Bakken. We're reviewing Landman, the new series on Paramount Plus. The Crude Life has a content partnership with Paramount Plus, and we've been reviewing Landman every week. A new episode comes out, and every week on The Crude Life, we review the Landman series. And so we're bringing in Warren Martin, executive director for Kansas Strong, where about 90% of their members are independent, small operators, so like small businesses. And Landman is supposed to be a small operator, supposed to be a mom-and-pop operator. MTEX, which Billy Bob Thornton is a part of. Anyway, we're going to bring in Warren Martin to review episode 3. Billy Bob Thornton, Demi Moore, John Hamm, episode 3. Hell Has a Front Yard. Reset the Hollywood storyline here for a second. Out golfing with John Hamm is when the episode starts. And it's almost like a reset of the storyline where the oil company signs a lease with the cartel. The cartel steals an airplane. The oil truck crashes into the airplane while they're unloading drugs. And now we've got insurance companies and OSHA and the county and all kinds of different agencies involved here. So that was kind of my takeaway in the beginning, was kind of they wanted to reset the Hollywood storyline that they're going to try to build to when John Hamm was out golfing with somebody trying to give him advice who's never worked a day in the oil patch in his life. I did notice that little insert in there, too. The guy that's trying to, tell John Hamm what to do has never worked a day out in the oil field, but is trying to navigate that culture. But in the beginning, the resetting of the Hollywood storyline during that golf event, Hell Has a Front Yard. What did you make from that? Was that kind of your takeaway? What did you make about that golfing event in the beginning where they were kind of just talking us through a little bit what was going on?
Well, first of all, I don't know that I've been to an industry event, not very many of them, that don't have a golf tournament attached to them. There's a lot of business that takes place on the golf tournament. There's a lot of legal conversations that take place on the golf tournament. So that is extremely realistic. I think it's also extremely realistic that if you haven't worked in the industry, you don't understand the industry. On the converse of that, if you worked in the industry, you really don't understand the corporate industry quite as well either. because they're very different. The way that they function, the way they interact is very different. I thought it was very realistic with a lot of what happens when you begin to get lawyers and people who don't understand what you're doing, but they understand the legal, the law, and what happens in the law taking place there. I also think it showed when it starts out that scene, it was kind of an odd start to the scene. He's walking the course and he's hitting his ball and walking the course, and people come up behind him and they're on their golf carts and they ask if they could play through, and he tells them no. And then they get into this argument back and forth, and they're like, well, we're going to have to sit here and wait for you. And he's like, well, if you play through, you're going to hit this many times on the next hole and I'm going to end up waiting on you, so you can't play through. And then he goes on. And I think it also shows, you know, kind of the world of that producer. Once you get into that world of those producers that are there, you're talking about a lot of highly independent men and women that are used to running their business the way that they want to run their business to get things done, because they've got it done in the past. It's worked for them in the past. And so I think there is a constant conflict between the way that historically we've got things done in the oil industry, and meshing that up with modern legal parameters, and to come to a judicial conclusion that's taken place there. And you can't be on one side or the other. You have to figure out how to navigate both sides of that, because the deals are made on the one side out on the golf course, and the laws is decided in the courtroom on the other side, and they're worlds apart on those two sides. And the successful producers are those individuals who learn how to navigate both sides of that.
My takeaway from John Hamm's character not letting that foursome, twosome play through was just reestablishing the villain character once again. That making sure people know he's the Stefano Demera, he's the Victor Kiriakis, he's the bad guy. Sorry, had to throw in a couple Days of Our Lives references there.
That makes me question you, man.
Well, what's even worse is those characters are like 50 years old as well. I mean, they were on back when, you know, my mom watched it when it was in the 80s and that kind of thing. But those are the only villains I know in any kind of soap operas, you know, is Stefano Demera. He's the only one I really know. But
join us for episode 4 when we talk about As the World Turns.
Oh, yes, yes. is that even on anymore? I don't even know.
I don't know.
John Hamm's speech on regulations, I thought that I wrote that down as well, about how he was talking about just – some of the flow of the ebbs and the flows, and this is very true in agriculture as much as it's true in oil and gas, and I'm certain it's true in other industries as well, where sometimes things correct themselves, sometimes you don't want to jump the gun and get too many people involved. It slows down things and it makes things go worse. And his line was something like it operates like a kindergarten classroom, or he made a kindergarten remark about when you start getting so much government bureaucracy involved. I thought that was a pretty important part of the show too, where he was really articulating what being very reactive can do on a negative way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that is an issue that especially right now we're dealing with in the oil and gas industry. Regulation is a huge, huge part of what we're looking at. And I think that really speaks to where we are culturally. Under the Biden-Harris administration, economists have determined that the Biden-Harris administration cost American companies $1.7 trillion in additional expenses just to provide regulatory oversight, just to provide to meet the needs of new regulations that the Biden-Harris administration passed. So regulation is something that is extremely crippling. Regulation is needed in our industry. Overregulation is not. Overregulation, all it does is artificially inflate energy prices. And if you don't think overregulation happens, Costco is a great example of this. Just in the past couple weeks, Costco had to recall 80,000 pounds of butter. Wow. 80,000 pounds of butter. They had to recall it and throw it away because it was deemed by the FDA to contain a potential harmful allergen.
Mr. Warren Martin, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for just a moment or two. We're going to take a brief pause. When we come back, we'll continue the review, Landman on Paramount Plus, Episode 3, talking about the oil and gas industry. My name is Jason Spies, and you're listening to Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town.
Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Welcome back to Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town. My name is Jason Spies, sitting in for Steve Bakken. We're going to get right back to our review of Landman, Episode 3. Streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. The Crude Life has a content partnership with Paramount Plus, and we bring on people to review certain industry content, industry movies, industry series, and this is Landman. We bring in Warren Martin from Kansas Strong. Before we went to break, you were explaining a Costco story. Let's get back to that about some of the regulations, if you will.
Regulation is a huge, huge part of what we're looking at. And I think that really speaks to where we are culturally. Under the Biden-Harris administration, economists have determined that the Biden-Harris administration cost American companies $1.7 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars in additional expenses just to provide regulatory oversight, just to provide for, to meet the needs of new regulations that the Biden-Harris administration passed. So regulation is something that is extremely crippling. Regulation is needed in our industry. Overregulation is not. Overregulation, all it does is artificially inflate energy prices. And if you don't think overregulation happens, Costco is a great example of this. Just in the past couple weeks, Costco had to recall 80,000 pounds of butter. Wow. 80,000 pounds of butter. They had to recall it and throw it away because it was deemed by the FDA to contain a potential harmful allergen. Now, what was the potential harmful allergen? Well, it's butter. And what it came down to was simply this. On the packaging of the butter, which was perfectly good butter, on the packaging of the butter, it said cream as the first ingredient, made from cream as the first ingredient, and then went through the other salt and all the other ingredients that are there. And the FDA said, no, that does not meet regulations because it doesn't say contains milk. Well, I don't know how you get cream except for milk, but because it said contains cream instead of contains milk, they had to throw away all 80,000 pounds of the butter. They couldn't relabel it. They couldn't put a sticker on it. They had to throw it away. Why? Because the regulations said so. And so there are times like that where overregulation is just ridiculous. And all it does is artificially inflate those energy costs. All it does is artificially inflate the cost of everything that's being regulated. And so I think that that speech was a very telling speech of something that potentially could be a storyline throughout the entirety of this series. And oil and gas industry is dealing with regulatory agencies because that is probably the most constant battle that is being fought in the industry.
One of the themes I wrote down for episode 3 was follow the supply chain of liability. And whether it's the complexity involved with the leasing the mineral rights to the cartel stealing the plane, flying it to Mexico, coming back, having drugs dropped off while an oil truck goes through. That to me is what they're going to try to reconstruct or reverse engineer on a liability and government regulatory mechanisms, which, by the way, would be a fantastic Hollywood movie. And that's what they're trying to put together here is a fantastic. And by the way, I mean fantastic in its Webster dictionary sense, not the cultural. It's fantastic. No, like absolutely fantastic, remarkable, outrageous storyline. But what the outrageous storyline does is it brings in all these different agencies from OSHA to the Department of Transportation to the DEA to Homeland Security because now we got Mexico involved to the Department of Energy because we have oil and gas leases involved. I mean, to who was it on a national park? Let's bring in the Interior Department as well. I mean, that to me is really what this theme was. It was setting the table for all the different legal
complexities, government complexities, community complexities, cartel complexities, and they're going to try to funnel it all into seven more episodes, if you will, to try to really paint the complex story of everything that an oil and gas company goes through. And if we take a sidebar from the airplane for a second and say, what about a truck? How often do trucks get borrowed by somebody or stolen by somebody only to get returned? That happens a lot. It happens in agriculture. It happens in construction. It happens in oil and gas. Any employee who feels that they have a sense of entitlement or the ability to do something like that is going to do it. Not everybody's going to do it, but there are employees that are going to do those things. And that was one of the more interesting storylines that I've never thought of before, which is if I report that to the insurance company, it's going to set a series of motions into a chain reaction, which is going to cost the consumer more. It's going to cost the company more. It's going to cost the county more. And the thing's going to be back the next week anyway. I mean, what a weird situation to be in if you're the company and the owner of that property. But at the same time, what a weird storyline that is real. That is a real storyline. Like I said, that is outside of oil and gas too. It happens in a lot of other industries, particularly construction. How often do tools go missing for 48 hours and then all of a sudden come back? That's what I mean. So it was funny that they chose an airplane to educate everybody on, but hey, if you're going to be fantastic and outrageous, you might as well be fantastic and outrageous, Warren.
Yeah, I think that, here in Kansas, we don't deal as much with airplanes being stolen.
just combines.
And really not even trucks, big equipment like that. That does it happen? Yes, it happens. They generally are not the type that are stolen and brought back in a week. When it's stolen, it's stolen. What we deal with a lot more is, steel pipe being stolen, copper wiring being stolen, motors, pumps, those types of things being stolen that people are stealing for scrap metal or to sell in another venue, and they take it and they sell it somewhere else. That is a perpetual problem that has always been a part of rural community, whether it's agriculture, whether it's oil and gas, whether it's anything that's out in the middle where you have an asset that's sitting out in the middle of a field that is only monitored maybe 1 hour per day at most. And so you have a higher tendency for those things to walk off. And that is a issue that is a huge portion. I mean, it's big in every industry. Go to Walmart, and one of the first things you'll learn when you take a job at Walmart is they'll start talking to you about shrinkage.
Warren Martin, hold that thought for just a moment. Great example. And that's another example how they're trying to connect with the oil and gas industry and other areas. It's just that in the oil and gas industry, everything is so sensational and outrageous. And it's just bigger than life. Warren Martin is our guest. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town.
The Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Welcome back to Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town. My name is Jason Spies, sitting in for Steve Bakken. One more segment with Warren Martin as we talk about Landman, the new series on Paramount Plus, The Crude Life. A constant on Wattage Wednesday as a content partnership with Paramount Plus, where we like to review some of the different movies that impact the oil and gas industry or industry itself. And Landman is the new series that everybody's talking about. It's on Paramount Plus. Warren Martin is our guest. He represents Kansas oil and gas industry, Kansas Strong, but most of them are independents. So you're talking about mostly mom and pop shops. So he connects with this Landman tremendously. And we're here to talk about some of the myths, some of the realities, some of the... Well, Warren, what do you think? Airplane? What about the airplane?
While the airplane driving through a truck may be fanciful, the issues related around it as far as people borrowing stuff or taking stuff or stealing stuff, that's a very real issue in the oil field.
And just so people understand, too, is that, you know, I don't necessarily believe it's as common as they kind of portrayed it in the industry. However, we have to understand here that you're dealing with a lot of people who are on for 2 weeks and then off for 2 weeks or they're on for 3 weeks and then they're off for 2 weeks. So for them to borrow something for a couple weeks and then bring it back, that's I think more what they were getting at. There's more of the side hustle, if you will. You know, somebody, boy, I tell you what, if I could just have that plow with me, boy, I could make an extra $5,000 while I'm off for 2 weeks just, you know, plowing my neighbors and that kind of thing. And that stuff does happen. And that's what I'm saying. It does happen in other industries too. But generally, the tools are just gone for the weekend because they don't have a 2 week on, 2 week off hitch right. and stretch and a lot of those different things. So, anyway, that was kind of my takeaway was some of that was kind of like, oh, that's interesting because, you know, it does happen. I don't know how much of it's stolen or if it's just kind of looking the other way because, you know, hey, listen, we trust him, you know, and then some of it, you know, good intentions get out of hand and et cetera, et cetera. The other part of the story, episode 3, Hell Has a Front Yard, they started going down the green energy to where Billy Bob Thornton correctly, Tommy Norris correctly, corrects the attorney, alternative energy. He made sure that he said the word alternative energy, not green energy, and then explained why it was not green energy. All the different things that use fossil fuels. And, you know, it for somebody who's been covering the industry for over a decade, I don't think I went to any meeting where I didn't hear something that Billy Bob Thornton said, you know, is whether it's your toothbrush that takes petroleum or the asphalt that takes it or the diesel needing to burn to make other things or plastics. So I thought the alternative energy, not green energy, and the green energy speech by Billy Bob was really good. My question to you is, do you think it'll move the needle with the average person? Do you think the average person outside the industry is going to care at all about that speech?
Well, in our interview that we did for episode 2, I said this would come back up because I've been waiting for you to ask that question. I've been waiting for you to get to this point in the show because there's a few. This is where I think it comes down where what you want to hear is what you tend to hear, and you kind of miss what's actually said in the show. Today alone. I have had 5 different people send me that clip from TikTok or Facebook or somewhere else that's that clip of him just talking about windmills and how windmills are completely dependent upon petroleum to be able to function and be put in place. And they've sent me that clip and, you know, he nailed it. And so I think among the industry, that got a lot of people really excited. It's like, yes, we finally gave it to them. And, you know, as you talked about in the last episode, kind of a woke lawyer that's coming in. And so to clarify a few things, one, I think his answer was pretty good to what she had to say. Two, I think that a lot of people were hearing what they wanted to hear and not hearing what was actually being said. And what I mean by that was I agree with him. I refuse to call it renewable energy, and I refuse to call it green energy. I have always called it alternative energy because it's not something that's going to replace oil and gas. It's just an alternative that we can use alongside oil and gas. It cannot stand on its own. It absolutely cannot stand on its own. So it has to be an alternative. It can't be something, anything else besides that alternative. But if you actually go back and watch that clip, the way that clip begins is they're talking about wind turbines and what's going on with wind turbines. He says, let me take you over here and show you something. And they finally get there and she begins the conversation. Go ahead. Tell me, how is wind bad for the environment? And then he goes in and he starts talking about how it depends on oil and gas for this and this and the concrete and the steel and the blades and the lubricating oils and the winterizing it and how it depends upon petroleum for all of these things. But what is the question he's answering? The question he's answering is, tell me how wind is bad for the environment. And basically, if you're from the environmental perspective, then what you really got out of that was, how's wind bad for the environment? Because it depends on petroleum. That's why it's bad for the environment. That's not what he was trying to say. He was trying to say that it is dependent upon petroleum, so it can't stand on its own. So there's no choice between the two. If you want that, you have to have oil and gas. That's the point that he was making. You cannot have that without oil and gas. But if you're not from that perspective and you're just watching the show, what you saw was her saying, tell me how it's bad for the environment. And then him telling you how it depended upon oil and gas. And in other words, that's how it's bad for the environment. And so it really didn't go into the issues of how wind can actually be bad for the environment and how do you dispose of the blades? How do you decommission it? How does it impact birds and water and fowl as they are flying in migratory patterns? He didn't go into any of those things that where it was truly how wind is bad for the environment. He just compared it to how it is dependent upon oil and natural gas. So I love the clip in and of itself. I don't like that it answered that question. It came up and there was no other answer given to that question that it's not bad for the, you know, not bad because of the oil. It's bad because of other things. You see what I'm saying there as far as you tend to hear what you want to hear. And I think again, Taylor Sheridan's trying to have a conversation. So he didn't go all in on one side and he didn't go all in on the other side. He kind of split the middle where people kind of walk away hearing what they wanted to hear.
Mr. Warren Martin, thank you very much for your time today, folks. Warren Martin with Kansas Strong. My name is Jason Spies, sitting in today for Steve Bakken here on Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town. I think he's coming back. Yep, he is. I got the thumbs up. He'll be back here in the next segment. I'll be back Wednesday. Steve Bakken up next on Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town.
1270. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, your tube to talk of the town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Brad Ock, general manager over at Runnings, the cool running store, 701 South Washington in Bismarck. And, all right, you've survived Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the Saturday-Sunday sale. A little crazy, my friend. Now it's Monday, but are you recovered from the weekend yet?
Yeah, well, now it's home of economy time.
Oh,
There's no rest. From one to the next, so now we're helping. We're up and doing Watford City and Williston,
getting those up and running. And you know, a little bird told me too, because when you guys assumed home of economy, you wound up getting some product shifting a little bit. You've got a bunch of clearance stuff from home of economy at the store.
We do. So we had one of the eight stores was a little tight on space, and they started getting their Runnings allocations, which a lot of it is similar, but there was some changeover. The store was very heavy in hardware and stuff. And going forward, of course, Runnings model is it's a great assortment of everything. And in order to make room for everything, they packed up old everything and they sent it to us. So we got 17 pallets of freight, and we've been working it out slowly over the last week. So in lawn and garden, behind the Schleck fixture, the big tall cow, not a cow, it's a Angus bull. I know, I need to learn this.
I'm glad you learned that.
It's kind of one of those deals, but behind there's two aisles of just great clearance items. And, I mean, we took some big marks. I mean, we're talking like 50 to 75% off on some of these items, and we just marked them red ticket and threw them in that aisle. And associates have been enjoying it. Black Friday shoppers enjoyed it. And we have a couple more pallets in back, so we just keep working pallets out, and that's the cool part is, you know, there's something new every couple days as we work out more freight.
Yeah, because you got a bunch of stuff in the back that you don't have room for. So as you're rolling that stuff out, that little clearance aisle of home of economy stuff is changing daily, so make sure you stop in and check that out. Now, I do have a question, because you guys were running some great deals, and I know a lot of people get family in town, and Saturday, Sunday sale. Any chance somebody might be able to go, hey, I was in for Black Friday, but I couldn't make it back in because, well, that family stuff got in the way?
Here's the deal. We kind of do this with our employees too, and we preach it a little bit. We always want the family side to come first. So we tell them, we don't want you to miss a choir concert. We don't want you to miss grandparents' day at the school. You got to go get your kid. Go take care of you first, right? We will be here. We'll figure it out. You know, I think I would hope if you came in and I'm not down there to verify, you're like, you know what? I had a bunch of family in town Saturday, Sunday. I really wanted this. I see you have it. Can I get it? I would hope without a doubt to be like, absolutely, let's do it. There's always got to be a couple days grace period, right?
Right.
So they probably wouldn't do it if you brought in the Black Friday ad, because that's a whole different deal.
No.
But that Saturday, Sunday, I'd like to put us to the test if someone tried that.
Well, we'll see if somebody tries that, because, you know, there's some great deals. I tell you what, I could not believe the Saturday, Sunday sales. And, I mean, the Carhartt stuff that was on sale was phenomenal.
Yeah, so it's nice, because and the nice thing about Carhartt now, that's a direct ship refill. So when we run low, I mean, that stuff triggers an auto order, and in it comes.
Sweet. And then Keen, I mean, some of the clothing stuff on Saturday and Sunday and getting ready for winter was absolutely phenomenal. And, of course, you guys, after last year, really wound up with a lot of good shovel, because I came and got a new shovel. I like a good heavy steel shovel. And had to buy a new heavy steel shovel, because nothing scrapes ice up off a sidewalk like a good, and the big wide poly ones are nice for moving snow. But if you got some ice, got to get down in there and get that out. I like a good heavy steel shovel, and I wore mine out. I came and bought one on Saturday, Sunday sale. I'm like, wow, this is a great deal. I have my gift cards, so it worked out really well. But you guys have got all kinds of snow removal equipment, and you know, you kind of run some little sales under the radar with some of that stuff that maybe we shouldn't talk about on the radio, Brad.
No, anytime you see something that says manager special, we don't ask questions, we just sell it.
I notice a lot of that over in the snowblower section.
That's also known as, we got more of this needs to get out of my way. Hey, go get one of those manager special signs out of the filing cabinet and mark this down. But those Yoho shovels you're talking about, those steel shovels are fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
We got a good assortment of those. And what we had asked for last year was, so we loved the assortment. We had way too many options last year, and we couldn't keep options full. This year, we got a good selection. Like, there's a good variety out there, but we have depth, and that was the big one. Like, those metal Yoho shovels are fantastic for when it's like a slushy and it starts to freeze and you really need to scrape and get going. That's just a great option.
You know, sometimes less is more, and when you got high quality stuff, less is more works really well. And running, of course, has high quality stuff.
Yeah, and this year we got more roof rakes, and that was one of our big complaints and issues last year was more people. I was surprised how many people were looking for roof rakes last year. It's really that the pressure the snow is putting on your roof right now is getting more and more attention from people, and they're paying closer attention. It was so wet last year, so it was really heavy. We saw a little bit about that about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. That first amount of snow we had was very, very wet. And thankfully, we had a nice warm Sunday, and it melted a lot of that away. But you got to watch for that. You want to take care of those buildups and get that stuff off your roof early and not let it build all year long.
Well, it's funny because last year I didn't need a roof rake because I got one 2 years ago, and Runnings was the only place I could find one. There, with all that snow we had, Runnings had them. I'm like, I should probably take two, but it worked out well. I got all the snow off my roof because I was getting some ice damming in a couple spots. I was like, nope, snow's got to go. Got it all off. But Runnings was my go-to because you've got all the winter supplies, everything you need, whether you need a new snowblower, new shovel, a roof rake, the clothing to make sure that you're toasty warm while you're out snow blowing, the footwear. You guys have it all. Ice cleats. Picked up Wendy another set of ice cleats this weekend. So when she's walking the dogs, those were on sale. Great deal on those because safety first. So, Brad, all kinds of stuff at Runnings.
And if you missed those electronic hand warmers we had on Black Friday for $9.99, there's a few left, but they're $14.99 now. I tell you what, they're worth it.
Oh, I got a couple. We're good. The rechargeable ones. Yep. Good for pheasant hunting, waterfowl hunting, deer hunting, whatever you need them for. They're too big to fit in my shoe, though, so I had to go with the electric socks.
There you go. That works, too.
Brad, enjoy your Monday, my friend. And then you've got a sale coming up in December we're going to talk about later that's kind of a little secret something. But don't forget all that home economy stuff, and check that out daily, because that's going to be keeping rolling out. And those are some great deals on clearance stuff. Brad, have a good one, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate the time. Have a good one.
Brad Ock, General Manager over at Runnings, the Cool Running Store, 701 South Washington in Bismarck on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town, weekday mornings starting at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app.